What Does It Mean to Age? From Ageless Soul by Thomas More. When I use the word aging, I mean becoming more of a person and more you over time. I keep an image in my mind of cheese and wine. Some get better with the simple passage of time. We set them aside to rest until they are ready. Time improves them as an inner and invisible alchemy transforms them and gives them taste and flavor. Human beings age in a similar way. If you let life shape you, then as time goes by, you will become a richer, more interesting person. That is aging in the style of cheese and wine. In that sense, your very purpose in life is to age, to become what you are, essentially to unfold and let your inborn nature be revealed. You let your ageless soul, yourself, your soul, peek out from behind the more anxious, active self, trying hard to be successful through planning and hard work. Notice, too, that in this way of thinking, aging in the deep sense may happen anywhere along the way. You may be 35 and have an experience, learn some facts, or encounter a fascinating person who helps you evolve a step further. You age, in my meaning of the word, in those moments. Your soul ages. You take a step further towards being alive, engaged, and connected with the world. Even infants age. Some toddlers are quite aged. Some old people haven't gotten far in the aging process. We age all along, and how we arrive at actual old age depends in great measure on how we have dealt with turning points and passages all through life. Therefore, aging is not just about the old years, but about the whole of life. It's not just about older people, but young ones too, who have a choice of whether to live fully or shy away from life's challenges. It's important to keep moving, unfolding your deep potential, becoming a real individual, loving life more and more, and arriving at old age prepared and ready for more of the same. And I'd like to say, in honor of aging, I wish my husband a happy birthday as he moves further into the wisdom. Happy birthday, dear John.
Wabe sabe. There's a term you don't hear every day. Wabe sabe is the quintessential Japanese aesthetic, the art of imperfection. As an artist, this concept is very appealing. A few years ago, I began painting flowers that were no longer perfectly fresh. This wasn't a conscious decision. I just thought that the aging flowers were more interesting when the petals began to change in shape and color. I admired their distinct beauty, and they were more fun to paint. Wabe sabe is a concept that can be applied to all of life. It is the opposite of our sleek, mass-produced, technology-saturated culture. It is flea markets, not shopping malls. Aged wood, not swank floor coverings. One single morning glory, not a dozen red roses. Wabe sabe understands the tender, raw beauty of a gray December landscape and the aching elegance of an abandoned building. It celebrates cracks and crevices and rot, and all the other marks that time, weather, and use leave behind. Wabe sabe reminds us that we are all transient beings on the planet. We are part of nature's cycle of growth, decay, and erosion, as embodied in frayed edges, rust, and liver spots. Wabe sabe asks us to abandon the mantras of perfection. Instead, I am perfectly imperfect like everyone else. Abandoning the need for perfection can open our imagination into new avenues of creativity. In the season finale of the comedy show The Big Bang Theory, Amy and Sheldon are getting married. They get into a conversation about an imperfectly tied bow tie. Amy tells Sheldon she likes the bow tie a little crooked. This sets Sheldon off into a frenzy, developing new scientific theories based on the idea of imperfection. Wabi-sabi can, in its fullest expression, be a way of life. At the very least, it is a particular kind of beauty.
I titled this originally Elderhood and Creativity, and I would just like to start by saying I think it applies to more than elderhood. So here we go. We create and are created every moment of every day. We are never the same from one second to the next because we exist within a context that changes us into something new every moment of our lives. The changes are usually subtle, but they are definite, and you are not exactly the same person today as you were yesterday. Our responses to these changes are new too. We respond to our newness in ever-changing ways. We are creators while being created. It is this dynamic of creation that helps to define us and enables us to define ourselves. It is also by means of constant change, both conscious and unconscious, that we find our way through the thicket of self to what is beyond. That is the richest aspect of creation, the projection of ourselves in the course of constant change into the greater world. But there is a difference between the spontaneous, reflexive creation that is a critical aspect of our daily existence and the deliberate, purposeful creation that we call art or music or poetry or gardening or raising children. If our normal, daily, moment-to-moment creativity brings us growth, physically, psychically, and emotionally, then it is the purposeful forms of creation that lead us beyond ourselves into the passions of others who experience our creation. The effect of creation can have as great an impact on the receiver, the listener, the viewer, as it does on the person who creates. In that way, we both are led hand in hand into the transcendence of meaning. I stood once before a small painting by Edward Manet at the Barnes Museum. It was a very simple image that the artist spread across the canvas, a peasant man in a boat fishing, his hat dipping over his eyes. He was apparently asleep, waiting for the nibble on the line that would awaken him and provide him with dinner. As I stood before that painting and let its unspoken meaning sink into me, I became aware of a mounting, passionate yearning arising in my body and mind. I was feeling a unity with that man as well as with the artist, and I began to weep. It was a joyous weeping, born of a discovery of a long-lost self. I wept long and thankfully. I wanted to wrap my arms around that Manet and that young man in the boat and give him my open heart and deepest gratitude. This happened years ago, yet I have never forgotten it and never will. Purposeful creation takes us outside ourselves. It is the bridge between the isolation of self and the connection that defines relationship. When we create, we offer up ourselves for the world to see, to hear, to know. We reveal our deepest thoughts and passions. That is what springs forth when we express the core parts of ourselves, the visceral, raw, animal parts, which we are unable to consciously control, but which form the underlying essence of art, invention, nurturing, and all other forms of conscious creation. Successful transition to elderhood is in large part a redefining of self. We are different as elders in ways that are obvious, and many of those changes are dissonant with our thoughts and feelings about who we are, especially who we have been. That redefining of self is both guided and constrained by the fact that our identities are relative. We cannot adequately define ourselves outside a context that includes others. It is in our aspirations and connection to others that we define ourselves in a basic social sense. It is our focused, purposeful creation that takes us most deeply into relationship, not only with others, but with the transcendent experience that we call meaning. So how do we incorporate a wizened, aging self with the identity we merrily created in our vigorous youth? How do we view ourselves in a new reality that has recreated us in ways that we often find discomforting and disheartening? The answer lies in our own works of creation. Creation plumbs, draws on, and reveals our deepest self, releasing in multifarious ways the richness that lies often sequestered in our unconscious and allows it to flow freely in our world, like a teenager in love. Creation can free us, enrich us, heal us, and in the course of all that, redefine who we are. We can, in fact, recreate ourselves. Finally, in our creations, we do not have to be great. We do not have to paint like Picasso or compose like Beethoven. We need only explore and reveal our hidden but not lost passions to ourselves and to others. That is what creation does for us. It enables us to leap into the world of our aging and fully live.
When I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals. And then I'll say, "We've no money for butter." I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick over barriers. And make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers from other people's gardens. And learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow fat, and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week, and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things and put them in boxes. But now we must have clothes that keep us dry and pay our rent and not swear on the streets, and be a good example for the children, We will have friends to dinner and read the newspapers. But maybe I ought to practice now so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I'm old and start to wear purple.